We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
In the morning, you gonna
wake up in the morning. I'm talking right now.
You're about to experience a morning show unlike any other.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club. I'll see y'all here tomorrow.
What you guys are doing right now, it's the hub culture.
The Breakfast Club is my morning sit. I need it and I love it so much.
I feel like you're really not popping until you do the Breakfast Club.
I've been waiting to come to y'all show, man. I know really? You gotta be a big time celebrity to be up in here. You gotta be big time.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Break the fuck up.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday.
Hey, you guys are troublemakers, man.
How's that? Ew.
I'm sorry. That was my protein shake this morning. You and DJ MV.
Why? What?
You blackballing Nicki Minaj and Angela Yee out in people with daddies. She playing Maury on The Breakfast Club. You are the father.
Listen, the man, I follow him on Instagram. He posts 21 Savage all the time. My son. This is my son. Me and my
what
son.
What does my son have to do with this?
Nothing.
My son has nothing to do with this.
It's not a secret. It has nothing to do with why he was picked up by ICE. It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, man. Salute to my guy, 21 Savage.
I've never seen so many stupid kids. Like, they don't even understand.
You've never seen that many stupid kids and you got the internet?
Because I guess I don't normally be in the midst of all that. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. They were mad at you yesterday, Yee.
Not as mad as the Barbs were at you.
Yeah, that's true. She got a point there.
Definitely not.
I feel like I got shot twice in the same spot. Like,
Talk to me.
We already had that discussion a couple, like 6 months ago. It was the same discussion.
Well, listen.
They were mad at the same thing.
The thing about the internet, right? We all know the type of logs that make the internet burn. Right?
Correct.
We know the type of things we can throw on the fire of the internet and make it burn. And you blackballing Nicki Minaj is going to always be one of those things that make it burn.
But how can I blackball Nicki Minaj by not playing her record?
Like, that's true. It is a beige ball. If it's just Envy not playing it, it's a beige ball. It's not a black ball.
But I said, I mean, this was something that we spoke about 6 months ago. She said whatever she said about
herself. Well, some people didn't hear it then.
You know, it was all over the place last time. So, you know, they squashed it out. So I said, all right, we good.
Oh, I got no problem.
I respect your stance. I also think it's whack, but I respect it.
Why do you think it's whack?
Because I just playing both sides of the fence. No. So.
He don't want no drama.
No.
I
mean,
he's like, for once in my life, I'm not the one that people are coming for.
It is what it is. It's, you know what I mean? It's
just playing both sides of the
fence. My guy, you know, it is. I hope y'all wouldn't. But anyway, but that's what it is. Shout
it was
to
funny
himself.
To me, though. I was laughing at everything yesterday. I was like, yo, people are so stupid.
Nah, but you know, the funny thing is I was in Atlanta, so I didn't really catch it until I landed.
Oh, that's the best, ain't it?
And when I landed, my phone was on fire.
That's why I deleted Twitter off my phone. No. I don't have Twitter on my phone, Snapchat. The only thing I got on my phone is Instagram. Because Twitter's the only thing that's on fire.
No. Not when the Barbs chase you.
I mean, on Instagram, if you look at your comments, but you don't have to look at your comments on Instagram.
I mean, I didn't care. It was funny. Some of them were hilarious.
I love it. The barbs are...
I was reading them. Oh, man. They called me all types of names yesterday. I texted Charlamagne one of the names to see what he would say. I said, Charlamagne,
what did they call you?
I just been called this. Charlamagne didn't even reply.
The racial slur?
What racial slur?
I mean, not the racial slur, the gay slur.
The gay slur.
Oh,
that rhymes people still with use maggot. That.
They called me that, like, how many times?
Enough.
I was like, jeesh.
I kind of agreed with him, though, so I didn't really like.
What? You agree with what? What you agree with? What did they say? What? Huh?
They
say what? They say what?
I think you're wrong for blackballing her.
Yo, shut up, man.
They're like so happy now. They're like, Charlamagne is a barb again.
Charlamagne's back being a barb.
Nikki, like, my peoples. I like Nikki. I don't think you dislike Nikki either.
No, I did.
I never disliked her. I disliked some of her ways. I never disliked her.
I did. I did. Some of the ways she was moving, I didn't like. But, you know, she's good. And, you know, people make mistakes and they do things. And she's good. So as long as she's
good.
You're
going to get some bars. I feel some bars.
It don't even matter. I mean, she knows how I felt about self. And this wasn't the first time I stood up for
her. Oh, that's sweet.
It wasn't the first time I stood up for a DJ.
By the way, that sounded wild, crazy, close to Valentine's Day. You know how
she
I feel about
herself. She knows how I feel about
herself. It's the truth. That's how I feel about my DJs.
Like,
if nobody gonna stand up for my DJs, I'm gonna stand up for the DJs, you know, because our artists will put the pressure on a DJ faster than they'll put the pressure on a music director, faster than they'll put the pressure on a program director,
operations manager, CEO of a label,
the owner of iHeart.
The first thing they'll do is come to a DJ, and I'm like, that's crazy. That's fat on, you know.
Mm-hmm. But that's because DJs are closer to the street, though. You know what I'm saying? So they're a little more accessible, easier to touch.
That and the fact that
they know you personally.
And she know you. Yeah.
They know you personally.
Yeah, they know us personally. But you know, I just didn't like it. I stood up for a bunch of DJs. I did it for Clue before. I did it for Cypher Sounds before. I did it for a lot of DJs.
Are people standing up for you too?
I don't ask anybody to. I don't necessarily care.
Listen, that's what we need to do. We need to keep all female beef at a minimum in hip hop. So you and Nikki need to squash it immediately.
I don't have no problem with Nikki. That's the whole thing.
How about you're not a female, MB? Is that not the bigger picture here? How about that? You're not a woman.
That too.
Okay, as much as you want to be.
That too.
Now, you know this is the most righteous ratchet morning show on the planet. So we always have a healthy balance of the nonsense that we're discussing now. Mm-hmm. But we also have 2020 presidential candidate Cory Booker on the
show. Who's he beefing with?
Nobody that I know of.
Oh, okay.
Donald Trump.
All right, yeah.
He did have a whole documentary about beef before, though.
He did. Did he?
Yeah, a street fight when he was running for mayor of Newark.
Oh.
You don't remember that with Sharp James? That was an award-winning documentary.
Mm-mm. Oh, I think I did see that back in the day.
It was a really tough campaign. Yeah, he actually ended up losing that election. But they documented the whole process of it, and it was dirty.
Well, Sharp James was beloved in Newark, so salute to him.
I always wanted to know why people in Newark really didn't take to Cory Booker.
Because he was from the suburbs at first, and then he moved to Newark. So you know how it is when they look at you as like an outsider coming into Newark.
They kind of did, though.
I think it was more than that.
It was a mixture of both, though. Some people liked him, some people didn't.
Yeah, so he has been living in Newark, you know, since then.
So we'll talk to him later, find out all about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we got front page news. What are we talking about?
We are going to be talking about the Super Bowl. How were the numbers on the Super Bowl? Well, we'll give you that breakdown. It's not too bright.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, ho.
You done?
Yep.
All right, let's get into front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
Well, rest in peace to Young and the Restless star Christoph St. John. He was found dead. He was 52 years old. They said just last week he was treated for depression, and he also had gotten engaged 5 months ago. His fiance posted, "How did it happen? How? Why did you leave so early and left me all alone?" You know, he's been on, he was on The Cosby Show, and he played the vegetarian boyfriend. And he also played on The Young and the Restless since 1991. He got 9 Daytime Emmy Award nominations and won 10 NAACP Image Awards.
Did you check on your grandma yesterday? Did you check on your old auntie and make sure that she okay?
I don't know if that was him. He was in the, was he in the Amon episode? He wasn't in that episode, right?
Oh, Cosby Show?
Yeah, he wasn't the boyfriend in that one, right?
I don't remember.
But he also has played on a lot of different things, like Everybody Hates Chris. Yeah, he played on Martin, A Different World.
Your grandma know him from Young and the Restless.
Though. Absolutely.
Your grandma's devastated this morning hearing this news.
Oh, your mama.
Now, he also lost his son, Julian, back in 2014. His son took his own life, so there's, just, I guess, dealing with depression ever
depression
since.
Depression ain't no joke, bro. Some people have extreme highs and extreme lows. I'm one of them. I'm having an extreme high this morning, though. I woke up listening to Guy and Mary J. Blige. Ew, and then transitioned into Notorious B.I.G. for whatever reason.
I was listening to Bobby Brown this morning on my way to work.
Okay.
I was.
That new Jack Swing will get you in that mood.
All right,
in the
now,
morning.
Charlotte Russe, this is going to be upsetting to you. They have filed for bankruptcy. Charlotte Russe? Charlotte,
really?
I know you're a big fan of
what
Charlotte Russe.
I grew up on Charlotte's Russe.
That's a food?
Not Charlotte's Russe. It's Charlotte Russe.
It's Charlotte Russe was Fashion Nova before Fashion Nova.
Yes, they filed for bankruptcy. They are going to close 94 stores. So they said basically they had too much debt. Their brick and mortar presence was actually a burden for them. So they are planning to hopefully emerge from this bankruptcy, get a new owner, and have a lighter balance.
Why don't they just follow the Fashion Nova model and go e-commerce?
Like,
just
I'm sure they will. That's why they're closing down some stores.
Is it like Forever 21?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit better than Forever 21, I would say. You know,
Forever 21 is popping.
And they sell only females' clothes?
Yes, Charlotte Russe only sells female clothes. I grew up in South Carolina. My wife used to be in Charlotte Russe a lot.
Okay. Forever 21 Men's does really well, too.
Charlotte Russe is better than Rainbow. You know what I'm saying?
And the Super Bowl had the lowest viewers since 2008. So that's just an update for you as far as how many people were watching the Super Bowl. And it's the historically lowest scoring game, but it's also one of the lowest viewed.
Well, it's been declining in ratings the past 7 years. That's probably because there's so many other ways to watch TV.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
it was watched by 100.7 million across all the network's platforms.
Right. And the fact that people are all the digital properties for the NFL and everything.
Yeah, and the fact that people are boycotting and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's a lot of different ways to watch the Super Bowl other than television.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us right now. We'll get you on the air as The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
You don't need snow to have an adult snow day. Head to eBay this winter and make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee. Plus, free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
The Breakfast Club. Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Hello, who's this?
This is Dustin out of Fort Wayne. What's good? Happy Tuesday, y'all.
All right, what's up, Dustin? Happy Tuesday, bro. Get it off your chest.
All right, man. I'm just calling to give some positive vibes to the most beautiful and smartest woman that I know. Her name is Ashley. That's my wife. She's the most awesome mother and everything in the world, man.
I love that.
I know, man. She is awesome.
Shut up.
Hey, every morning I wake up next to her, man, I wake up with a smile. There's nothing to be mad at.
Same here, bro.
I ain't mad at you, Phyllis.
You don't wake up next to his wife with a smile. Shut up.
He meant his wife. What did you mean, his wife?
He was trying to be funny.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Stephanie calling from Cleveland. How are y'all today?
Hey, Stephanie
from Cleveland.
Thank you for coming to Cleveland with iHeart and the new station. I appreciate that. I've been listening to y'all on the app on my phone for a long time.
Yeah, y'all need something since LeBron left again.
Oh, stop it.
We have a lot. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to say, I love you, Charlamagne, but I'm a little mad at you right now because yesterday, you were very hypocritical in the way that you went at Demi Lovato. Obviously, those memes were funny. Like, people were just joking about the fact that they didn't know he was from the UK. But you also said when Angela Yee first reported about Bow Wow, you were like, oh, he looked like he got attacked by somebody who was screaming MAGA World. So that wasn't funny either.
I wasn't trying to be funny. He really did look like he got attacked by MAGA supporters.
How are you going to make fun? But that is a real-life situation for Jesse Smollett, and then you're going to get so mad at Demi Lovato. That's not cool.
Well, Jesse Smollett's not the only person that MAGA supporters have attacked.
Of course, but it's still not cool to make light of that situation.
Let her just be mad at you for
something
you did, okay?
Okay.
Just take that.
I mean, Jesse did call himself the gay Tupac, though. That was kind of funny.
That was, and that's cool. I want to say also, thank you so much for your books. I was recently diagnosed with anxiety and depression. I started taking medicine, and it's been great.
So she's happy and mad at you at the same time.
Baby, that's the kind of people I love. I love people like you because I know your emotions are real. So I appreciate you being mad at me and appreciate the love. And I know that the madness is coming from a genuine place, and you want me to do better.
I do. I'm so proud of you. I've been listening forever, so I'm really proud. You're doing good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is G from the Brick City.
Oh, boy. What's up, G from the Bricks, man? We ain't hear from you in a long time. We thought you got locked up, bro.
Oh, you saying that because I'm black. If I was white, you would have thought I was on vacation somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah, man, I got to get off my fact that the fact that Jesse Smollett is out here saying that he's the new gay Tupac. I mean, I'm offended at this. And then he also got the nerve to say that it's time for black people to start being more black and more gay. I mean, what type of narcotic is this man on? And he said this all during Black History Month. I'm pissed off.
So are you telling me that you would not love a gay Tupac? Can you imagine what Keep Your Head Up would have been about if he was gay?
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely not. You wouldn't say some sucker like that, Charlamagne. That's just a cornball in you.
So you telling me you wouldn't want to hear I get around from a gay Tupac?
My goodness.
Absolutely not. I don't want to hear I get around from nobody gay.
What about ambitions as a rider from a gay Tupac?
Oh, man. Come on. You losing your mind now, Charlamagne. I knew you was fruity. You can't hide it no more. We
oh,
all
my
know
gosh.
That.
All hey, right. Hey. All right, guys. That's enough.
Go ahead.
Would gay Tupac have a nose ring?
You didn't do hit him up. You didn't hit him up. Come on. You're supposed to do the hit him up.
Hey, hey, how would gay Tupac look laying in the tub covered in jewelry?
Oh, man. Come on.
All right, IG, man. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
We have a one in a million call right now. We have Kayla on the line. Kayla, good morning.
Hi, Kayla. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, hey, Charlamagne. Hi, Yee.
Hey, Kayla.
Hi, Envy.
Hey, now you calling for Charlamagne. You have a huge crush on Charlamagne?
Yes, I do. I actually called last year and was the one like, Charlamagne, you got me hot. I'm from Brunswick, Georgia, and I'm trying to find you. No disrespect to your wife. Yeah, I got that through. Oh, my God. I'm the
Well, I'm happy that you got great taste, baby.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, well, thank you.
So what other fetishes do you have?
What other weird sexual fetishes do you have?
What other fetishes do you have?
I mean, I just want to say that he is really sexy. Like, he has a demeanor to where he'll look at you like, I'll f*** the shit out you. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Around,
whoa.
He be walking like, no, for real, y'all. He walk around like he has an aura of good shit. Like,
he's like a sexy mad ball. You ever seen mad balls?
Charlamagne.
He just has this presence. And then he dark-skinned. Like, dark-skinned men,
sorry, Envy.
You already know you're going to leave satisfied. Like, you don't even have to think twice. My bad, DJ Envy. Y'all, you yelling so at
damn. You can have Charlamagne. I ain't jealous.
Are you saying that I got big energy, Kayla?
No, it's not about the size.
No.
You just look like you'll grab a woman close and put it on her, and then she'll be, like, chasing you and
Chasing you.
Okay.
Like, chasing chase, you? Though. I don't chase. My grandma got money, so I don't chase.
Let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. Charlamagne likes What's things that? In the butt. Would you mind
stop
that?
Stop it.
No, I've never f***ed in the butt. I'm 28 years old, and I've never f***ed in the butt. And I will never.
It's too
I'm
early for this, Cindy.
I'm in his butt.
We haven't even had breakfast yet. Could you stop?
Huh?
Nothing. I'm talking to Envy. No.
His butt.
Kayla, we love you, Kayla.
Kayla, I hope y'all run into each other one day.
No,
man.
You don't.
I really do.
I'm married.
Yes, I
happily.
Do hope so. No disrespect to your wife, but what's
Well, this is all very disrespectful to his
all
wife.
Right. Okay,
I'm happily married, but thank you, Kayla. I appreciate you appreciating me.
Kayla, hold on. I'm going to give you his number, all right?
Yes, you should be appreciated. I don't want his number. That's disrespectful. But just know, Charlamagne, Kayla Aubrey L. Leggett is so trying to get to you. I live in Brunswick, Georgia.
Right.
I'm right by St. Simon's Island. You know,
okay.
You got money down here.
You
got money.
She knows how to come. She ain't never say how she looks. She just said, I got money.
Oh, I'm beautiful.
You know you're a bird.
I'm beautiful. I am brown skin. I'm 4'11". I'm thick. I'm shaped like a Coke bottle. Like the one back in the day. Like in the middle. Yeah, anyway, I have
crazy
and eyes. And I'm telling you, I'm the
Thank
and
you,
if
Kayla.
If you see me, there will be no more wife.
That is
so
not true.
Whoa, come on now. You cannot. Wow. They have three children together,
thank you,
okay?
Thank you, Kayla. We appreciate
don't
you.
Don't break up a happy home.
Children don't keep no man.
Thank you, Kayla.
Damn, Kayla.
All right, Kayla.
Have a blessed day. We appreciate you. Thank you for calling.
Kayla is ruthless.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, guys, I was on an extreme high this morning. I'm in on extreme higher right now. Okay.
You know, she led with, I got money, because she know you a bird.
Yeah. Well, listen.
I'm surprised you didn't ask her net worth.
Yeah, right.
Listen, I'm just happy to be here. Thank you, Kayla, for appreciating me.
Oh,
all right.
My goodness.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
You don't have no BDE, though.
That is true.
We got rumors on the way.
Oh, man. We'll give you an update on 21 Savage and Ice and what's happening with him because he did apply to stay in the country a couple of years ago. So we'll tell you what it is.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to these rumors. Let's talk 21 Savage.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
So let's delve into what's happening with 21 Savage with this whole visa situation. Now, according to 21 Savage's lawyer, they're saying that what might have triggered his arrest was his visa application. He actually made a move to become a legal resident, and that's what may have caused them to investigate the application. They did a background check, which revealed that he was born in the UK, came to the US legally in 2005. He did have his visa, but it expired the next year, and he's been here illegally ever since. According to his lawyer, this has happened to so many people. It's not through any fault of his own, because he was a child when this happened. Now, according to his lawyer, he was trying to apply for a U visa back in 2017, and that's a visa that's a form of a relief for people who have been here illegally for 10 years or longer, who have a qualifying U.S. relative living here. He has three kids who were born here, so that would qualify him to be able to remain here legally. Now, they did try to bring up this felony conviction. ICE brought that up, but his lawyer is saying that was expunged, so that shouldn't even be an issue for him.
And 21 been here since he was 5 years old.
That's so crazy.
He's been here since he was 5 years old.
Right, so according to his attorney, ICE is trying to unnecessarily punish him. And the visa that he applied for also is can be also based on him being a victim of a crime. He was shot during a 2013 incident where his best friend was murdered, and that affected him physically and mentally severely. So he goes on to say that being a crime victim also puts him in a position for being here permanently.
Salute to my guy, 21, man. He's a great guy, and I think 21 is going to end up being face of this whole illegal immigrant deportation thing, the way Meek Mill is the face of prison reform. Because sometimes things happen to you so God can work through you.
Right.
I think that 21 is going to end up being a good voice for this situation.
I hope he's okay. Absolutely.
Now, his mom posted, it's a damn shame when we live in a world where people thrive off and feed negative energy, laugh at others who are going through real life challenges, fighting for their lives and freedom, sick of it. However, in the end, people will see. This too shall come to pass. Free 21 Savage.
I wonder if they're using this to, like, nail 21 on other things, though. Because this all just seems so random to pick him up for this situation.
But he's been out the street for a couple of years now, so
I know
that shouldn't be an issue.
I agree with that, but, you know, sometimes these people be having access to grind because of old stuff. They hate to see those guys who may have been a certain way in the street actually change their life and evolve into something else.
So can't get him for that, but we'll get him for tax evasion.
He's not really supposed to be here. Let's see if we can stick this on him.
Right.
All right, now his team said all the love is appreciated, but money is last of our worries. Awareness and support is what we need. P, a real one for speaking up. He's talking about P from Quality Control. Be vocal. This is an issue a lot of people go through that you may never know, and God forbid they have to go through.
Salute to my guy, Meezy. And I'm going to tell you something, man. All of these people that's running for president, the Kamala Harrises of the world and the Cory Bookers, like the same way they talked about the Jussie Smollett situation in regards to hate crimes, this is the time to talk about this 21 Savage situation in regards to illegal immigrants. The bad treatment that they're receiving.
Right.
And that's something that we've been seeing, you know, even before 21 Savage, just with Donald Trump trying to shut down the border, also trying to get rid of DACA and everything. So that's something that has been an issue ongoing that we should pay attention to.
Y'all want
to
be cool and y'all want to look like y'all connected to the culture? Y'all need to reach out and help my guy, 21.
Yeah, there's something to get behind.
Okay.
All right, now for everybody excited for Atlanta Season 3, they're saying that may not come in 2019. It may not come out this year, but it is currently being written, so we don't know if it's going to happen this year, but they are at least working. So, you know, people have been posting footage of different things right now, and I'm excited for Atlanta. It's one of my favorite shows.
I don't want them to rush it. I like it when it's like a year or two in between the shows. That lets me know that you're
really
putting
your foot in. Man, I do want it back, though. I do want it back.
Yeah,
certain shows,
I
need Insecure back. I need Atlanta back.
Sometimes it messes up that momentum. Not people like to see it all the time and forget about it.
Take your time.
I miss it. Certain shows, I'm like, when is Power coming back? When is this show coming back?
Anything worth it is worth the wait.
All right, now, CeeLo Green has apologized. We told you about his post. Big boy, yo, Big, we riding with you, fam. Do that-ish. F these so-called protesters. You just got $100 million worth of press. I'll kill for you. And that's because people were criticizing Big Boy for performing performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, but CeeLo is riding for his guy.
And Tamika Mallory got on his
Tamika Mallory sure did. She said, absolutely. Really, CeeLo?
Dropping a clue bomb for Tamika Mallory.
Just want to make sure you all see how some of the artists we love really feel about mothers and fathers who have lost their children and people on the front line. Also, someone called TV One and asked them what there is to like about this post. I've been outside of jail for 2 days in the cold trying to help detainees get food, hot water, and lights. I'm on some other ish today. Y'all don't want it with me. Well, CeeLo has since apologized. He said, I'd like to address what has become a large misunderstanding. And I hope you will receive this post as clarity, closure, and most important, an apology. I posted yesterday, excited in the heat of the moment and spirit of triumph in support of my fellow Atlantan, teammate and brother, Big Boy. My post is speaking exclusively to him and about those who are opposed to him performing. I would never disrespect or devalue the stance or the severity of why it has been a call to arms as far as our living situation here in America. So he did apologize to those who he offended.
Yeah, CeeLo, I love CeeLo, but he was bugging. You know, you don't have to say F to so-called protesters, because you got to realize there's people out here fighting for you, even right. when you don't know it. And you never know when you're going to be in that situation and need those same people, the Tamika Mallorys and the Mysons and the Linda Sarsours and the Common Presidents, to come ride for you. You never know.
Now, let's see if he has a response to PETA, because PETA went at Big Boy. Hey, Big Boy, the way you move is horrifying when animals have to die for your outfit. So they didn't like that fur that he had on during the performance. But in other news, Big Boy has announced a Dungeon Family reunion tour. So that's going to be happening. He'll be on tour with Goody Mob, Sleepy Brown, Organized Noise, and KP the Green.
I'm definitely here to see that. I'm not sticking up for PETA, because PETA ain't never been in negative degree temperatures, clearly. Because them furs,
you can wear something else. You don't have to wear fur.
I know you ain't talking.
You don't bacon. Have to. Bacon?
Turkey bacon.
I don't even eat
turkey
bacon.
Turkey's still an animal.
I don't eat that anymore.
Do you eat animals?
Nope. I stopped. I told you I was being a vegetarian. Now what?
I mean, if you... Okay.
Something she got to be leather. One of them shoes got to have a little bit of leather somehow.
I didn't know Angelique was a vegetarian.
I told you I've been working on it. And so, yeah, okay. That's been the goal.
I eat animals. I eat things with faces. Sorry, PETA.
We know. We heard.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report. And by the way, since you brought up bacon, it is Chinese New Year today. And it is the year of the pig. So happy Chinese New Year. Gong hei fat choy.
You can't shout out pigs after you say you don't eat pork.
It's the year of the pig. It's just Chinese New Year.
All right. And shout out to Revolt. This is our 100th
episode. They really take days off.
Salute to all the pigs at Revolt.
Episode. You can't even make a shout out there, man. We got front page news next year. What are we talking about?
We are going to talk about the Super Bowl and their historically low numbers, and we'll tell you who has commented on what they did as far as watching the Super Bowl, or should I say not watching.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. What are we talking about, you?
Well, Bennett College. We talked about the all-female historically black college that might have to shut down. They did surpass their goal of raising $5 million to help them stay open, and they actually raised $8.2 million. So they still have to undergo a formal appeal to make sure everything is good to go, but fortunately, they have surpassed that goal.
Now, why was it shut down? Was it bad financing, bad management, or was it low admissions? Do we know?
Well, they did have to fundraise to raise that money, and that became a community-wide effort. So I don't know if it was bad, you know, maybe people, alumni, weren't giving back the way that they should. You know, I can't tell you exactly what happened.
Well, dropping the clues bombs with Bennett College, they didn't have their goal as of Friday, and Friday was the last day, so they must have raised that, like, last $4 million this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, salute to Bennett College.
So that's dope, and salute to everybody that actually supported.
I give a couple dollars.
Mm. All right, now, Super Bowl viewership has fallen to its lowest since 2008. With the New England Patriots win over the Rams. And some people clearly were not watching the game. Here's what Al Sharpton had to say to Baller Alert.
I didn't watch it. I took a knee and did other things. Until Kaepernick is rehired somewhere and is not blackballed in the NFL, I was not going to watch the Super Bowl.
All right, now that number of 100.7 million total audience comes when you add up everything. So if you watch it on the network, on interactive, on NFL digital properties, Verizon Media mobile properties, all other kinds of digital properties, that's all those numbers put together.
Are we boycotting the NFL because they blackballed Colin Kaepernick, or because the NFL is a racist organization? If it's because it's a racist organization, then Colin shouldn't want to play in a racist organization, and we shouldn't watch. So even if Colin gets a job, doesn't mean that the NFL is any less racist.
Yeah, what's the goal?
I don't understand. Like I said a long time ago, the more powerful message would be for Colin to say the NFL doesn't care about the police brutality that black and brown people face at the hands of the police, and they blackballed me for standing up for my community. That would make a lot more people give the NFL the middle finger. Like, you can't be silent and expect everyone to boycott when we don't even know why we are really boycotting.
I get you what you're saying, but there's a lot of athletes that play in the NFL that feed their families from that as well. So it's kind of like, do I not support them because they're still trying to make some money, some coin to feed their families? And do I say on this side,
hometown heroes, family members, everybody that's
I'm not mad at anybody that watches the NFL. I still watch the NFL from time to time. I just think that Colin needs to have a message. I'm with Cap, but what are we
what am
doing?
I with?
Yeah, because he took a knee because he was protesting the injustice that black and brown people face at the hands of the police. So I thought them blackballing him because that is why everybody was giving the NFL the middle finger.
So if he gets rehired, that doesn't go away.
No, and why would you want to work for a racist organization? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you want to work for an organization that is giving the middle finger to black and brown people and the injustice that we face?
But we have to get more on this and figure this out.
I just think Colin needs a message. Like I said, I'm with Cap, but what do we know?
And tonight is the State of the Union, by the way. Are you guys going to watch Donald Trump's annual State of the Union address?
I wouldn't miss that stand-up special for the world. Best stand-up comedian going today, Donald Trump.
Man, I got my book club with Devon Franklin tonight, so I won't be home to watch it, but I'm sure I'll catch a lot of it digitally. All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back.
Speaking of Donald Trump, one of his arch enemies.
Oh, I was like, whoa.
I don't know. He's not really his arch enemy, but he's going to be one of his main competitors.
That's right. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker will be joining us.
2020 mm-hmm. presidential candidate Cory Booker.
That's right.
So, former mayor of Newark.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to him when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Tonight at 9, 8 Central on BET, American Soul, the untold story of Soul Train. From the producers of the New Edition story, one man ignites a black cultural revolution. Cinqua Walls is Don Cornelius. American Soul, series premiere tonight at 9, 8 Central on BET.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. I don't know where Envy's at. I guess he's on the way back from Atlanta. But we have a man I'm very interested in talking to. He's running for president in 2020. Senator Cory Booker is here.
It's good to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's good to be here. You know I'm a fan and appreciate you keeping the tradition going of black radio, which has always been about informing, inspiring, challenging, as well as entertaining.
Now, let's talk about this because you did announce that you were running on the first day of Black History Month.
Yes.
And people were speculating that you would announce it at some point. So what made you decide finally, okay, this is the year I'm going to do it?
For me right now, we're at a point in our country where folks are starting to lose faith in this nation's ability to work for them. People feeling left out, left behind. And I think a lot of folks are starting to think the forces tearing us apart are stronger than that would hold us together. Mm-hmm. So I just don't believe that. I think it's time that we get back to bringing people together to focus on injustice, to focus on a social justice, and advancing the idea of America for more people.
Donald Trump told Face the Nation that you don't stand a chance. Why doesn't he believe in you?
Well, I don't think there's a person. There is not a person who's listening to my voice right now who has not been underestimated, put down, doubted, and overcome anyway. And so this is who Donald Trump is, you know. I'm going to show that the power of the people is greater than the person in power. And if you believe that and believe in me, especially somebody come in the pathway that I've come, only 21 people in American history have gone from being a mayor of a city to being in the United States Senate. Mm-hmm. I'm the fourth popularly elected African-American in the history of our country to the United States Senate. We have a history as a country of doing things other people said couldn't be done. And if you're one of those believers, it's time for us as America to start doing impossible things again, then support my campaign. Show them. Go to CoryBooker.com. Give $1, $2, because we're going to show that the people, we can do this.
Does Cory Booker have a specific agenda for black people? And if so, what is it?
Look, man, I as an African-American, as a black person, so much of the realities for all Americans, if you look at the lens of African-Americans, they've been in many ways the conscience of this country from its founding. When we said we were going to be a nation of liberty and justice for all, the African-American experience challenged the inadequacy of those words when it meant reality. And so right now, you pick an issue, mm-hmm. from maternal mortality rates to incarceration, the broken criminal justice system, to access to health care, you see African-Americans having worse outcomes. And you address the issues of Americans, power African-Americans, the very promise of America becomes real. And let me give you an example of this. One of the main reasons, I didn't shy away from this. My pollsters told me it wasn't a big issue on the minds of New Jerseyans, but I ran telling people I was going to Washington to do something about mass incarceration. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, it's not a big issue, but we came down there, and for years, I've been a senator for over 5 years, I worked, and just last Congress, we finally got a bill done. Now, it doesn't solve the problem, but it's the first time in our lifetime, mm-hmm. after the prison population going up 500%, finally we have legislation that I was able to get done with people on the other side of the aisle that starts tearing down the institution of mass incarceration. So much of my life is about where I live. I'm the only United States senator who lives in inner city community, black and brown community, below the poverty line.
By choice.
But you have a specific agenda for these black people.
I have a specific agenda for the American people, which
includes uplifting black people.
Yeah, but it's
inseparable.
They always say rising tide lifts all boats. We don't really see that in our communities.
Well, let me give you an example. I have a bill that got a lot of attention called baby bonds. It's a fancy name for saying that every person born in America should have an account created for them. Thousands of dollars put in over time, $1,000 a time. And at the end, if you are a low-income American, you have up to $50,000. And that addresses all Americans, but it actually helps the racial wealth gap in a significant way. So by addressing this problem with an idea of creating savings accounts for every child born in America, it helps all children, but it dramatically helps African Americans as well. And I'll give you the last example of this is that criminal justice bill that I just did, making the retroactive, that crack cocaine powder cocaine disparity fix. 90% of the people benefited from that are African Americans. Gotcha. Because the criminal justice system is biased towards African Americans. So when you fix the system, you help poor white folks who get screwed by the system as well. But disproportionately, you're going to help those people that are most affected by an unjust criminal justice.
How do you use the model of Newark, right, and everything that you know about living in Newark and having worked in Newark? How are you using that model for some of the platforms that you have as far as running for president?
So this is the thing I'm proud of. You know, Newark is a city that was disregarded, disrespected, just plain dissed. Now Newark is going through its biggest economic development boom since the 1960s, one of the lowest unemployment rates we've seen in a long time. But more than this, from the supermarkets in the neighborhoods, the doubling of the affordable housing, to incredible increase in our education system. Right now, Newark is ranked, Washington University came out and studied, the number one city in all of America for what's called beat the odds schools, high poverty yet high performance, schools that outperform the suburbs. And so Newark is in many ways a testimony to what we can achieve when we all come together. Now, we haven't solved all our problems in Newark, but in a very short time, we've made massive leaps and gains. And I'm tired of people that disrespect urban spaces, that put them down. And so for me, speaking to all of America now, I think this is a time where people are doubting what we can do as a country. They're beginning to believe we're at each other's throats. We can't get things done. And I'm saying we can address the unfinished business. You know, I was watching the game, and look, when I played football in college, and I used to know when we were going to score a touchdown. When I started hearing the other huddle, the defensive huddle, start tearing each other down, yelling at each other, I'd look to my friends in the huddle and I'd be like, we're about to score. Because that's where we are in America. We have all across this country this common pain. People are hurting. Republicans and Democrats putting aside their prescription drugs because they can't afford them. EpiPens going up hundreds of percent because of this unjust gouging that's being done. People working full-time jobs in factory towns, farm communities, inner city communities, and still need food stamps just to get by. We have all of this common pain, but we've lost a sense of common purpose in this country. We need to get back to calling this country together to achieve a greater justice for all.
So you said you watched the Super Bowl, so you're not with Cap?
I'm with Cap because people forget what he is. They want to make him the focus. I've talked to the brother. He is a humble man. It is not about him. It is about the ongoing injustice in our country.
Yes.
When it comes to the criminal justice system, when it comes to levels of police accountability. And so, you know, we may disagree on tactics at times, but there's nobody that can say that in terms of the commitment to the cause of trying to reform this broken criminal justice system, I don't think there's that many folks are more committed to that fight every single day than I am. And let my deeds speak for me, what I accomplished as mayor of Newark, reentry programs, changing our court system, the first drug courts, veteran courts, youth courts in the state of New Jersey, as well as some of the things I've gotten done as United States Senator.
All right, we got more with Cory Booker. He's running for president for 2020. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now we have New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. He's running for president in the building. Charlamagne?
You caught a lot of flack for giving bricks to the pharmaceutical industry. Can you explain that to the audience?
You know, that's one of the more frustrating things to me, too, because my record speaks for itself. Number one is when I was mayor of Newark, we were able to get programs to drive down prescription drug costs for our residents because it was outrageous that people were putting aside their prescription drugs. When I became a senator, I've written the legislation on importing drugs with Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Bob Casey. I'm one of the co-sponsors to hold pharmaceuticals and companies, literally punish them if they raised their pharmaceutical rates higher than other countries, because it's crazy that drugs developed in the United States are cheaper in places like Russia or Western Europe than they are here at home. I've sponsored the legislation to allow Medicare to negotiate costs. So if you look at the bills I've written, the bills I've sponsored, the programs I did when I was mayor of the Newark, it has been focused on tearing down pharmaceutical prices. And the final thing is, I'm one of five senators, six now, out of the 100 senators that does not take corporate money. I will not take corporate PAC money. And in this presidential campaign, we're not taking the corporate PAC money. We're not taking lobbyist money. I'm not taking money from pharma executives. We're going to run this campaign the way campaigns should be run, on the power of the people.
And we can trust you to regulate these big pharmaceutical companies.
Look at the bills I've sponsored and the work that I've done. We're going to regulate them. And frankly, if I become president of the United States, we're going to push to be able to punish them if they raise prices. We're going to make sure that we hold them accountable by taking away their patent exclusivity if they raise their drugs in that way.
So what are the greatest policy differences between, like, say, you and Bernie or you and Kamala?
Look, I differentiate myself by what I stand for, which is, to me, I will always talk about the urgency for us to revive a sense of civic grace. I was raised on this idea that we have got to create a more beloved community that focuses on injustice and addresses it. Now more than ever, we don't need to fight fire with fire. As King said so eloquently, darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. And so,
how do you drive out orange, though?
I know you can't rhyme anything with orange. I've seen some challenges to rappers trying to rhyme orange. but look, we can't be defined by what we are against. We got to be defined by what we're for.
Do you think the attacks on Kamala's record as a prosecutor, you think those are fair?
Look, I think all of us should, with you just asked me some tough questions.
Yeah.
I think all of us, you're running for president, people want
to. Right.
You have to expect it's going to happen. Like, everybody's going to have their record scrutinized, and they need to be prepared to defend that. You got a guy in Virginia who's betrayed the public trust and thinks somehow they're entitled to this. No, if you want to lead, you got to.
The guy in blackface?
Governor Northam.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And he's like, that's not me, but it's on his page in his yearbook.
I mean, we really got to get back to this understanding in America. We need each other. And you can't disrespect entire swaths of this country and think that you deserve to lead.
Well, racism never thought they needed us because they didn't even look at us as whole people, 3/5 of a human being. So they never thought they needed
Stokely
us.
Carmichael, like cattle to them. Stokely Carmichael used to always say, constitute. I can only say 3/5 of the word.
Oh.
Yeah. And so look, this country had these very imperfect geniuses that founded this nation. And they put ideas out there that were bigger than them, this idea of freedom and equality. But the real story of America is activists. Change doesn't come from Washington, it comes to Washington. And this is the best thing. I learned this from a woman on the fifth floor of the projects. I moved into some projects for almost a decade, and it was intolerable conditions.
Why? Why did you do that?
Because these were the folks that elected me.
Yeah.
When Ms. Jones walked every single door in these projects, tell vote for Cory Booker. I'm a guy who hadn't been in the city for 2 years.
How'd your apartment look? Was it like in Coming to America? Like it was in the city, it was all decked out?
Like, you had a waterbed, a sauna.
No, man. Listen, man, I was no hot water, battling mice and roach.
Walking up 16 flights of stairs.
Yeah, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
But here's this woman, Miss Jones, she worked at the prosecutor's office in Newark. She made enough money not to live there. Her son was murdered in the lobby of the building I lived back in the 80s. And I used to say, why do you still stay here? And she goes, because I'm in charge of Homeland Security, she would often say. Now, she wasn't some secretary in the president's cabinet, but she knew that life, every day you have a choice to make, is to accept things as they are or to take responsibility for changing them. And so what she taught me is the most precious definition of hope I have ever heard. Hope isn't some kind of Pollyannish thing. Oh, things are going to get better. You know, I'm sorry. Hope is seeing the ugliness, the wretchedness, the darkness of the reality in which we live. But hope is the active conviction that despair will never have the last word. Mm. And so what I saw in this country, I hate to tell you this, but since Donald Trump was elected president, this has been the most hopeful I've ever been for our democracy. Why? Because I've seen a whole bunch of folk who were sitting on the sidelines doing nothing.
I agree.
Didn't think it was worthy of voting or engage. I've seen folks now get up and get involved. I remember after the president's inaugural speech, I was so, I had a throbbing headache that night. I thought he was going to get up there and say maybe something like magnanimous at least. He had a whole bunch of malice, very little charity. I went home that night in my basement apartment in D.C., just like curled up, headache, thinking to myself, healthcare is in danger. I was going through my mind all the things that were in danger.
You live in a basement apartment?
Yeah.
When he goes
we need
to
you
D.C.
To do better, Carl.
No, it's a nice apartment. I have great landlords. I have people that look out for me. It's good. It's a nice apartment,
bro,
man.
Bro, you really a bachelor? You got a basement apartment? What the hell? What is wrong?
Why man, I'm trying to save apartment? That money. I'm trying to save that money, man.
He's got an election.
Okay, so you saw he was curled up in a fetal position.
Yeah, man. And then the next morning I wake up and I see hundreds of thousands of Miss Joneses that we're not going to let Donald Trump have the last word. More people turned out for the Women's March than turned out for his inaugural address.
That's
and
right.
And they were saying this is not a time to curl up, to shut up, to give up. It's a time to stand up, to speak up, to rise up. One of my favorite moments as an American, this is one of my favorite moments as an American, my life favorite moments, one of my top moments, was when they were doing the Muslim ban. And I ran out to Dulles Airport and to go try to negotiate to get the people who were being detained access to lawyers. I'm just running up there to do my duty. I come into the foyer of the airport, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people chanting American slogans. And every time a Muslim family would come out that had been being detained, they would break into these cheers.
I saw you with the megaphone.
This is what the ideals of all of our great faiths are, the welcoming the stranger.
All right, we got more with New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. He's running for president 2020. We'll talk to him more when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have New Jersey Senator Cory Booker in the building. He's running for president in 2020. Cory Booker, Yee.
Are you concerned about the whole voting process? Because that is something that is... I think
how can anybody win if the fight is fixed?
Listen, the corrupting elements in our society right now that we should all be talking about is money and politics. The second corrupting influence right now is the gerrymandering going on. You have these states where there's far more Democratic voters because Republicans control those state legislatures. They draw the lines to pack districts, pack all the Democrats in one district so they can try to preserve their power. The third thing that's going on that's to be an evil in our country is trying to suppress a vote of low-income Americans, people of color, and other groups. We've even seen in North Carolina a federal judge that said to that legislature, what you have done is try to disenfranchise blacks with, quote, surgical-like precision. Mm. So we see since the Supreme Court decision that gutted the Voting Rights Act, you now see all of these states doing all kind of games to try to restrict access to the polls. And so we should be aware of this. Because it's a throwback. And so what do you do about it? Do you surrender to cynicism? Oh, my vote's not gonna count. No, that means we need to come out with more force and a more defiant, ferocious love and say, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to secure this democracy. Because I really do believe democracies benefit when more people are engaged, more people are involved. In fact, let's stick with African-Americans. If African-Americans voted not at 50, 60% in the presidential election, but 80, 90%, they would change the face of this country. So we have the power. Folks don't realize, and this goes on.
Yeah, give them something to vote for. A lot of them feel like, you know, the Democrats have not fulfilled a lot of promises.
So two things. One is, I think of elections we lost. We've lost so many issues in the Senate right now by one vote. So a lot of the issues we care about would have gotten accomplished if we won. Hillary Clinton right now, and again, I'm not focusing only on African Americans. This was electorates all over demographically. But if Philly, Detroit, Milwaukee had come out in large ways, she would be president of the United States right now, and we wouldn't see this environmental injustice we see going on, educational injustice we see going on, all of these things. So we do have the power. The problem is the most common way people give up their power is not realizing they have it in the first place.
Yeah.
Voter suppression wouldn't even be happening if they didn't want to take away your power.
Exactly. They know the threat And they're going at them right now. Because the reality is America is changing for the good. People want universal access to health care. People want marijuana laws to change. People believe in climate change. And the party that's in power, that's denying climate change, that's denying access to health care, that's giving corporations large, that party is losing its base. Mm-hmm. And so, but yet, if we don't vote, we are endorsing the very things that are happening to us. And people right now should be angry. Anger is a productive emotion. They should be dissatisfied that we live in a country where it's easier in thousands of places for people to find unleaded gasoline than unleaded water. People should be dissatisfied that one out of every three incarcerated women on the planet Earth is in the United States of America, and the overwhelming majority are survivors of sexual trauma. Mm. People talk to the school prison pipeline. We throw women who have been sexually assaulted in prison at rates that should be unconscionable. We should be dissatisfied in this country that there are people working full-time jobs and catching extra shifts and don't have enough money to provide food for their families. We should be dissatisfied that in America there are 7 million senior citizens who worked hard all their lives, relying on Social Security checks that are so meager, they're still at or below the effective poverty line. And if your dissatisfaction has you doing nothing but sitting in what I call a state of sedentary agitation, when you're so upset about what you're seeing out there, but you don't get off your ass and stand up for this country where people, you, none of us in this studio, none of us would be here if folk weren't willing to die for us.
Mm-hmm. How much should a presidential candidate's personal life factor into people's decisions? Because people feel like you being single could affect your chances. You being a bachelor in a basement apartment.
I got a house in Newark now.
I got a house in Newark.
And I want to say, if it didn't affect Donald Trump and the terrible things that he's done in his personal life, say, and look, he still somehow managed to be president.
I mean, I think that if Donald Trump get elected president at this point with the personal life that he has, then anybody can.
You would only be like, you'd be like the third president, I think?
I think first of all, there's two more years until I might switch.
So he might get married.
Give me some time.
Well, I'm speaking into existence.
So my girlfriend might listen to this. So.
You don't want to. Oh, okay. I'm about to say you don't want to marry somebody now. Because once you start getting hot, you might become president. She might just want you for that.
No,
to
I
be
got
first lady.
Before I declare president, I'm dating somebody that's really special. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Cory Booker got a boo.
I got a boo.
You must not read the blog, Charlamagne.
I don't. Tell me. Who's
on the blogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that.
Would she make a nice first lady, whoever
yes.
she is?
Yes, she would. Thank you for saying
yes,
that.
Yes, she would.
Thank you for saying
that. Oh, so whoever this special someone is someone you may potentially marry one day.
You know, look, please, what are we gotten myself into right now, man?
I just want to make sure she's
all right. The most, all the issues we talk about, this is the most uncomfortable part of this interview.
Listen, I would rather you not be married like Donald Trump is to Melania Trump.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That looks like a miserable union to me. So I think it's more important.
I don't want to comment on
I know
our
you
first,
don't, but I will.
First lady of the United States of America.
They don't look happy together,
the
though.
The reality is I am ready to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to put my heart, my spirit, my energy, my ideas, my love before the American people and let myself be judged. And by the way, if this is not what you want, my ideals about creating that more beloved community, revival of civic race, to focus on injustice, to focus on the unfinished business of America, hey, I'm happy to have put my best out there. But I believe this is what America needs right now. It's people that are going to pull people together for purpose, because we have that common pain. We're lacking that common purpose. And the last thing I'll say is, if you believe in me, please go to CoryBooker.com because I need your help. Join our efforts.
Do you have a bed set?
Do I have a what?
A bed set in your basement apartment. Do you have a mattress
Man,
on the floor?
Man, I am not sleeping on a corner. I've got
but if you
a
do,
nice...
we're going to get you a bed set. That's the least we can do.
We have a mattress deal.
We can't get you a
I don't know if you can accept
I
that.
I have better than a nice mattress, nice place in my apartment, but I have the best landlords.
I show us the bedroom apartment on Instagram.
Do you
one
really
time.
Want me to go do
yes,
Instagram
please.
Live in my apartment?
I would love to see it. I just want to
I feel like you have black lights
and one of those fuzzy posters of the Black Panther.
No, and in closing, I do want to say, though, I do think that personal life only matters if you've done some horrible things, then we take that into account.
Yes.
Like if somebody is an abuser, if somebody has said terrible things about women, terrible things about men, or whatever it is, I think that's when your personal life should matter. But if you're a moral person, I think that should be off limits.
I agree. Thank you very much. Can I take you to Iowa? We got to do a little radio show there.
Whoa, you got a girlfriend.
I'm not.
Whoa.
Why you got to go there, man? I was just saying that people should know those words you say were gospel. Thank you very much.
All right, okay. So give them the website again so they can go donate.
CoryBooker.com, CoryBooker.com. going. You can actually text RISE, R-I-S-E, to 40203 and sign up for text message alerts and more. And follow me on social media because we will be now I'll probably be posting my DC
basement
pad.
Apartment. You want to see that little basement apartment. Yeah.
But
is there a waterbed?
You guys, where are you? 1970s
coffee.
Do they still make waterbeds?
I think so.
You guys.
They're like a fuzzy toilet seat cover.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't be a stranger, man. You got 2 years. You can use this platform whenever you want to.
I would love to come back.
My man, Senator Cory Booker, thank you for coming, sir.
Oh,
thank you for having
and
me.
And Trump State of the Union tonight. Are you going to be watching?
I'm going to be there because I respect the presidency.
How far is your basement apartment from the White House? Got your Uber pool there? Thank you, sir.
Well, hopefully with the help of the people, I will move from a basement apartment to the White House.
To the White House.
To the White House in 2 years.
Senator Cory Booker, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, guys, very much.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it.
So listen up.
Well, the Game and Joe Budden have reignited their beef. Now, Game has a song that's about to be released. It's not out yet, and he's talking about other people's wives or girl. I haven't heard the song. So we do know that he is talking about Joe Budden's fiance, Sin Santana. And he posted, "Joe Budden, you can't sue nobody for discovering the vagina before you. I turned you into an on-air personality. Enjoy retirement." Now, here is how...
First of all, what's wrong with being an on-air personality? Okay, on-air personalities make millions of dollars out here in these streets. Well, not all of them, but...
You know. Yeah, not all of them.
Yeah.
All right, now, here is how Joe Budden responded.
If this were true, why am I hearing about it now? Because if you beat at some point and we never heard about it, I'm to assume you didn't think it was such a stat. And if you believe it to be a stat now, I'm assuming it to be because she is with me. Which makes you one of the weird that gets praise from behind guys.
What type of loser face ass is you?
I don't give two what anybody did before I was involved with them. This is marketing 101.
Which is why I'm shocked Joe took the bait. Like
he definitely took the bait.
You know, Game is just trying to market a single, but I guess it works both ways. Joe got content for his podcast. Game gets the
promo he wants. Works both ways.
We need Dream Doll to jump in and do a diss record.
Yeah.
All right, now, and the second clip you're going to hear right now, Joe Budden is talking about Game's own dirt.
Some type of sexual harassment claims filed against him in a lawsuit to which he lost. That's one. Game has pictures laying up in the park with his finger up underage girls. That happened. This is what Game put online. That person should stay far away from topics like this, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So now WAC 100 is saying, hey, if anybody denies these allegations, we're going to leak the tape. Fam, I dare you.
Interesting take, but I don't understand what one has to do with the other unless he's saying Game smashed Sin when Sin was underage. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't even know if it even happened for real.
I was thinking about this, too. Right?
What's that?
This is 40-year-old me talking. I think what Game, if Game has a record where he's talking about sleeping with other rappers' wives, I think that's corny. But when I was 18, I thought Pac saying he smashed Biggie's wife, Faith Evans, was incredible. And we call Hit Him Up one of the greatest diss records of all time. So if it's corny that Game's doing it, then in hindsight, it has to be corny that Pac did it too, right?
Well, I think they also had a real beef when they were doing diss records and stuff back and forth. I don't know that Game has beef with these people right now. Like, is he beefing with Kanye about Kim or just putting things out there?
But I'm just saying you slept with somebody's wife, another rapper's wife, when Pac did it, we said it was gangster.
But I think
we
on diss records.
But that was a diss record.
Yeah,
they
diss
hated
records,
each other.
I thought
like,
it was
they were
no
going
holds
back
barred.
And forth. Like, it was a little different. See, but also, you know, when Big did Dreams of Effin'.
And remember, Jay-Z did it with Nas when he talked about.
He also apologized.
Yeah, he apologized. That's it, but he did do it. But, you know.
I'm just saying.
When you're doing a diss record,
y'all
it's
from
different.
New York, but I'm just saying, in hindsight, was it corny? Was it corny that Pac said that about Biggie's wife?
I think on a diss record, everything is Game.
I think it'll also be
no
great
pun intended.
If Joe Budden was rapping. Like, because then it would be a rap battle.
Y'all not answering the question.
What's the question?
I think if it's a diss record, you can
was
say
it
anything.
Was corny when Pac talked about smashing Faith Evans?
Yes.
Okay.
That was corny.
But as a woman, I always think that's corny.
That was
all
corny. Right.
Okay, that's all I
so,
want.
So,
in hindsight,
it is
it was
what
corny.
It is.
But back then, I thought it was fire.
Yeah,
I go front. I was the first person to play it on a mixtape. But
this one just kind of, you know what I think with this? It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Joe need to do some push-ups, too, because it sounds like him and Game going to see each other.
All right, now let's talk
who
about...
Who you got on that fight?
In a fight?
Yeah.
Game.
But Joe got like that.
Don't say it, Strength. Okay. We know what you mean. He got crazy.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. Now, Gisele Bündchen has a new memoir, Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life. And she talks about being a supermodel, the boob job that she says she regrets having. She talks about having panic attacks during her career. She also talks about her wedding with Tom Brady and how she found out about his ex's pregnancy. They had started dating. They got set up on a blind date. And they both agreed to delay starting a family of their own because they both had really great careers at the time. But 2 months into their relationship, he told her that his ex-girlfriend of 2 years was pregnant with his baby. You can imagine how horrifying that must be. So she talked about all of that in the book, about her world being turned upside down at the moment, but how they got over that. So that's her book. Her memoir is out. Mm. All right, DMX has announced he's doing a 20th anniversary tour for It's Dark and Hell Is Hot.
Dropping the clues bombs for DMX, damn it.
Mm-hmm. And tickets are going on sale on Friday, so for anybody that wants to go see X.
That man is anointed. I think DMX is going to visit us soon.
I hope so.
I believe so.
Hope so.
And Francis Montana has announced his Vegas residency. He announced that he is going to be doing a 2-year extended stay at Dre's. So shout out to him. He's starting later this month. We told you about Cardi B announcing her Vegas residency as well. And Andy King, you know him from the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix, Fyre. If you don't remember who he is, here's a refresher. He's an event producer, and he told this famous story.
I'm going to suck you so good tonight.
What?
What?
That's not it.
That was Charlamagne.
Okay.
Who are you talking about? You know what? You kinky over there, man.
That got crazy.
That got real crazy. This guy's kinky.
Do we have the clip?
Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team.
Whoa.
You're our wonderful gay leader, and we need you to go down. Will you suck to fix this water problem? And I literally drove home, took a shower. I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really, and I got into my car to drive across the island to take one for the team.
Dropping the clues, Moms, for Andy.
And for Charlamagne at the beginning of that.
Andy is a great American hero.
Well, he's getting all kinds of deals now.
As he should!
He got offers from 3 different water companies.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Also, he's gotten 3 TV show offers from notable networks.
Dropping the clues bombs for the blowjob king. I guarantee one of those networks is logo.
You cannot say that word.
What word?
The word you can't say.
Words, okay.
What did I say?
Now, he also says that he's gotten an offer about a show about hosting crazy events and what it takes to make them happen.
Drop one of clues bombs for the BJ King, Andy. Okay, that's right. If Superhead can be a New York Times bestseller of her fellatio abilities, Andy should be able to get all of those goddamn deals too.
You know what he needs? An endorsement deal with BJ's.
He is the BJ King. Okay.
Do you ever go to BJ's?
I don't even know what that is.
Charlamagne goes
all
yes,
you do.
The time.
What is BJ's?
You ain't never been to BJ's?
You never been to BJ's? It's like a place where you could buy
you
stuff
went down
in bulk.
For BJ's before.
No.
All right.
They got your bookie, BJ.
Really?
Yeah.
In bulk?
Anyway.
Very small.
I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right.
Andy!
All right.
Andy needs to come on the Breakfast Club.
Whoa. Speak you for
come,
yourself.
You want to come on with a Breakfast Club?
All right.
See? Okay. I know you kinky, man. You like that, man. All right. Yes.
Everybody calm down.
Nope. Okay.
You just drink your water and relax.
That's right.
I am. I'm parched.
Charlamagne.
And get some mouthwash.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll let you take a sip. Take a sip. Oh, go ahead. Shut up. Take a sip. Mm-hmm. Swallow.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Who are you giving that donkey to? Oh, let him swallow first.
We need Liam Neeson to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him. Or Liam Neeson, whatever his name is.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now it's Black History Month.
Yes, today is Black History Month, and you know during Black History Month we do new Black History Month legends, our new Black History Month moments. And today we want to showcase a Black History Month moment between Claire Huxtable and Vanessa Huxtable. This is when Claire scolded Vanessa for attempting to have big fun.
This is a Black History Month moment.
You bring yourself in this house right now, and if you think that that 30-minute ride home was something, believe me, we've only just begun. If you're lying on the floor of some burning building, dying of asphyxia, and you're down in Baltimore having big fun, weren't you, Vanessa? Isn't that where you were? Didn't you go down there to Baltimore and have big fun, Vanessa? Tell me, didn't you go for big fun?
Mom.
Shut up. Don't you dare open your mouth when I'm asking you a question. I only hope that you can have the same experience, Vanessa. I hope that one day you come to realize exactly how it feels to think that your child's life is in danger. You have taken us from levels of frenzy, panic, distress, and now that we know you're okay, rage. That's where we are right now, Vanessa. We are in rage because we know that you have been to Baltimore, Maryland, with the wretched to have big fun.
That was a Black History Month moment brought to you by The Breakfast Club.
I love that episode of The Cosby Show.
Amazing. I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. Y'all got to put Cosby Show back on the air for the culture, bro.
So you still watching The Cosby Show?
Just don't call it The Cosby Show. Just call it The Huxtables or something.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It should have always
been called The Huxtables. Yeah,
man. By the way.
Just change the name to The Huxtables, man. We need that back for the culture, bro.
All right. When we come back, positive note, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, February 5th, goes to Liam Neeson. Now, yesterday in an interview that Liam Neeson did with The Independent, he confessed that he once roamed the streets looking for a random black man to murder.
Mm-mm.
I repeat, in an interview Liam Neeson did with The Independent, he confessed that he once roamed the streets looking for a random black man to murder. No need to hear me repeat it again. You can listen to Liam Neeson say it yourself. Let's go to The Independent for the report, please.
She told me she had been raped, but she handled the situation of the rape. I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him.
He said black bastard with a
that
hard
is
B,
crazy.
A hard L, a hard A, a hard C, a hard K, and a hard bastard. Now, context matters. Liam didn't say he just wanted to kill a black man for the sport of killing a black man. He wasn't doing any big game black bastard hunting. Liam Neeson had a friend who was raped by a black man. Therefore, that made him want to go kill a black man. Here's the thing, Liam Neeson, and the reason you are getting donkey today, your friend got raped by a black man. Therefore, the only black bastard you should want to kill is the black bastard who raped your friend. Okay, I know that a lot of white people think all black people look alike, and some of you think we are all one big monolithic group, but we are not. And killing a random innocent black man because your friend got raped by a black man is not going to solve anything. So let's not use your friend's rape as an excuse for you wanting to kill random black men, because I feel like you would have that desire regardless of if your friend got killed or not. Now, I'm going to play white devil's advocate for a second. I respect his honesty because I don't think we can heal things we don't reveal. I also think that when you're honest about how you truly feel about something that you have done, you have to be prepared for the backlash. I think that the same way I, as a man, have to unlearn a lot of the BS I have learned in my life, Liam is dealing with the fact that he clearly was a racist and that his racism led him to want to commit a random act of violence against a black man under the guise of seeking revenge for a friend who was raped, which makes zero sense because, once again, the only person you should have wanted to kill is the person who actually raped your friend. Please let Kathy Griffin handle my light work.
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
Now, did he mention in this interview about how he got past that and why he doesn't feel like that and how wrong it was?
I didn't hear all that. I mean, I didn't listen to the whole interview either.
I want to make sure he doesn't feel like this still.
I heard him say in a 24 interview with The Guardian that we all racially profile. It's a horrible thing to admit to, but we all do it. I know I do, end quote. And I think he did talk about how he learned from it. Let's hear this clip.
But I did learn a lesson from it when I eventually thought, what the f*** are you doing, you know? And I come from a society. I grew up in Northern Ireland in the Troubles, and I knew a couple of guys that died on hunger strike, and I understand that need for revenge, but it just leads to more revenge and more killing and more killing. And, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the world at the minute, the violence is proof of that, you know.
He said it was how he grew up in Northern Ireland during a period of intense political unrest. He was fueled by the misguided belief that indiscriminate violence was a reasonable response.
Imagine if he would have came across a black person at that time.
Yeah, but he said he was hoping that a black person, you know, started something.
Start
with
some
him.
Issue with him, yes.
I wonder if it was a white person, if he would have been looking for a white person to kill.
It's a good question, Angela Yee.
All right, Charlamagne, thank you for that donkey today.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to human resources, man. I can't work anymore. The guy keeps flirting with me.
All right, when we come back, positive note, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just missed it, Charlamagne gave Donkey of the Day to Liam Neeson. Now, why'd you give him Donkey today?
Liam Neeson, because of these comments that he made to The Independent. Let's hear him.
She told me she had been raped, but she handled the situation of the rape. I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him.
He said he wanted to kill a random black man because his friend was raped by a black man. Makes no sense to me, because I think that if your friend was raped by a specific man, then you should go kill that man.
Not a whole race of people.
Yeah, not just
any random person from that race.
All black men together.
Let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. Was he wrong for feeling that way? He didn't actually do it, but he actually felt that way. He was probably that mad that he felt that way.
Yes, I think he was dead wrong for wanting to kill a random black person.
Yes, I agree, but if my daughter was raped by somebody out of another, I don't even put that out there.
You'd want to kill that person.
Yeah, don't even
I would
want to
kill that person, but I would be that. But I don't know how mad I would be if somebody raped my daughter raped my best friend. I don't know what I would want to think at that time. Not to say that I would do it, but I'm sure all types of thoughts would go through somebody's mind.
It's the equivalent of Trump lumping all Mexicans in one pile and saying, hey, all Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers because of what a select few have done. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing. You shouldn't profile that way.
But you know what? Also, you know, you got to look at some of our relatives, too. Like, my grandmother disliked white people because of all the things that white people have done to her and her family members in the past.
Well, she tried to kill them, though.
I will say,
I know grandma was kind of crazy.
Throughout history, we have a large sample size of whiteness in this country that shows us that white people have been very prejudiced towards other minorities throughout time. So I can understand why your grandmother probably feel that way. How old is your grandma?
My grandma's dead now.
How old was she?
At that time, probably about 86.
And she lived in Virginia?
Well, yeah, then she moved to Brooklyn.
Oh, well, growing up in the South, yes. I'm pretty sure she experienced racism at a high level, so she probably had a lot of legitimate reasons to dislike whiteness.
Yeah, I think if you've been profiled and discriminated against by a group of people for your whole life, then you might have obviously certain feeling towards that group of people. But if something happened to somebody by one person, one individual, one incident, and then you want to kill a random person, that's insane.
Yeah, and I don't think that I don't hate white people. I hate white supremacy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I hate prejudice. I hate whiteness.
This white guy Dan in here is cool.
But he's not white supremacist.
Rebecca.
Good morning.
Not you,
Steve.
Good
morning, Rebecca. Do you think he was wrong for feeling that way?
I don't think he was wrong. I think it was said differently. I think it could have been said differently. We all have biases. It's the society we grew up in. Look how the media portrays us. When a black man does something wrong, whether it's very minuscule, his mugshot is displayed all over the place. But when a white person does something wrong, his prep school picture is displayed. So it's how society views us, and that's why he feels the way he feels.
Right.
Just like when a white person does something for the black community, we feel some type of hatred. Whether it's for that person or the people, individuals, we feel that.
Okay.
That is a good point you bring up, because they have always put the rapist tag on black men. Like, that's been going on since the beginning of time. So Liam probably does feel like all black men are rapists.
Or maybe he did at that time. I don't think he still feels that way. Sarki!
What's up, buddy?
Hey, do you think he was wrong for feeling that way, Sarki?
I think he was, but I don't think that was the purpose of him, revealing that in the interview. There was a reason why he said that in a public interview that's going to be listened by a lot of people. And it's because it's a way for him to tell his experience, how he learned from it, and how over time he got over it. And I think that's the lesson he's trying to tell everybody else.
I got to hear the whole interview. Like I said, I just heard the clip
played.
It just sounded very disturbing to me.
Yeah, I'm not.
But like Charlamagne, you said you didn't even listen to the rest of the interview before you even put him on a Donkey of the Day. So, you know, that's kind of tough.
Context matters, but you know, I still think that the context of wanting to kill a random black man because a black person raped your friend, I think that's a stupid way of thinking.
It is. I agree with you. Elvis.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, bro?
What's up, man? Am I on the air?
You're on the air. Was he wrong for feeling that way, Elvis?
Yeah, man. Of course he was. Like, how are you going to go and just target a random person just based on race? Just because something happens to you doesn't mean, you know, you can just go and just attack a random person.
Right.
That is very true.
Right. At all, period.
What does that mean?
Have you guys ever felt like attacking a random person?
I will never go and attack a random person. You know, I'm a sane person. No. I don't go and do that.
No, I've never.
I got a question for Charlamagne, though. I got a real good question for Charlamagne.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So what is this psychological programming you're talking about?
What do you mean?
Like you said, I got years of psychological programming from all the BS I dealt with. Just what did you mean by that?
Oh, I mean that, like, you know, just growing up in America. Growing up in America, they tell us certain people are like this, or certain people are like that, or these people do this, and these people do that. And it's just like when you grow up and you've never been around any of these people, it's not till you meet these people that you realize all of these stereotypes that we've been taught are BS. Until you actually sit down and have conversations with these people, and you're like, oh, you know, people don't do this, and people don't do that. Like, the only people I've met in my travels that are exactly the way society told me to are light-skinned people. Beige
Shut
people
up.
Are
Stop.
Sensitive, especially men. Beige men are sensitive, emotional, ridiculous. Like, they're the only ones that fit all the stereotypes that I've been taught.
You know you one of them now.
That was a joke?
What happened?
You funny.
Uh-oh, somebody's mad. Be careful.
Page rage.
You're not playing rage. Any of your records.
Matter of fact, I'm cutting your mic off. 800-585-1051. We're talking Liam Neeson. Was he wrong for the way that he was feeling? Call us now as the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, Charlamagne gave Liam Neeson Donkey of the Day for what?
Liam Neeson? Is that a car?
He's talking about a Nissan.
Nissan. It might be a car.
Nissan Sentra.
I gave him Donkey of the Day for these comments right here that he gave to The Independent. Let's hear him.
She told me she had been raped, but she handled the situation of the rape. I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him.
And listen, I didn't hear the whole interview, but I mean,
how you give somebody dumb that they didn't even hear the whole interview?
Because that's enough context for me. You do not go around wanting to kill
but
random.
Maybe at the end of it, he says, you know, that's the wrong way to feel that way. And the only reason I said that, maybe to save somebody else that may be feeling that
that's
way.
That's right.
Maybe at the end, he said, psych.
You can get donkey today for your old thoughts.
What about if he said psych?
No, you can't say psych after that. Now you're just bringing a bunch of unnecessary drama on yourself for no damn reason. For a psych? Hey, kids, I don't know if you know what psych means, but psych.
No.
Psych. I don't know what the hell psych means. What does psych mean?
Like, not really.
It's not really. Yeah, there you go. But no, I just think it's stupid to want to go around killing random black people just because a specific black person, you know, raped your friend. Like, you should go want to kill that man, all not right. all black people.
So was he wrong for feeling that way? 800-585-1051. Keith, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Was he wrong for feeling that way, man?
I don't really feel no type of way about that. I mean, honestly, I feel like if the roles were reversed in a lot of aspects, including this one, I think people would be treating this situation a little bit differently.
You said if what now?
If the roles were reversed, what do you mean?
Like, I feel like if it was a black person saying, oh, I'm looking for a cracker to kill because, you know, somebody raped my friend or whatever, I think people would.
No, I would still think that black person is tripping.
You would, but I don't think, I think in a lot of aspects, including this one, I think that if the roles were reversed, people would be reacted differently.
I'm just saying, that's a very, like, go get the person who actually did that to your friend. Don't cast a wide net.
Sabrina.
Good morning. I was listening to your Donkey of the Day, and I did read about Liam Neeson yesterday, and I was truly disappointed because I've always been a fan of his. But no, he's not wrong with saying how he feels, but he should be prepared for the backlash that may come along with it.
True. That's a very good point. That's how I feel. Like, I don't think he's wrong for expressing his feelings, but there is going to be a lot of backlash.
Yeah, he put that out there. He had to know that would make people feel away.
Yes.
Exactly, because and it just so happened yesterday, Taken came on, and that's one of my favorite movies. And I'm not going to watch anything with him in it because of this, because now I see him in a different light. But at the end of the day, like I said, no one is wrong for saying how they feel, but you have to see, my thing is this. I love all people, and I was raised to love all people. We, in our home, we never had an issue as far as don't like this person or don't like that person, and I never raised my children that way. So I don't understand how others are raised in a home to where they can have feel silhouette towards a certain person because of their race. I've had things done to me by all types of races, but I never felt a negative way of all that particular all race because of what happened to me or what happened to a loved one. My anger was directed toward the person who did whatever they did. That was wrong.
That's very immature.
And racism is such a tricky disease because we never know if you're truly cured of it. You know what I'm saying? It's so deeply rooted in people. So if you hated a particular race that much at some point in your life, do you really ever grow out of that?
Like, how do we know you're over this?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think that's why they get mad at politicians when they see these politicians that used to be doing racist things. Like you see the governor in Virginia who had the blackface on allegedly. It's like, you can't be in that position of power because we really truly don't know how you feel about African-Americans.
All right. You know? What's the moral of the story?
I don't really have a moral of the story. I just know that you shouldn't cast wide nets, okay? And profiling is wrong. If you have a specific beef with a person, take it out on that person and not a whole race of people.
Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, I talk about Cardi B on Good Morning America. She's talking about a lot of different things like the Super Bowl halftime show, her relationship, motherhood, and all of that. You're going to enjoy it.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report, rumor report. This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Cardi B was on Good Morning America, and she talked about the halftime show, why she didn't perform, even though she was asked. Here's what she said.
They hired my friend back. And understand why was this, like, so important and was such an uproar.
It means that much to you.
It do mean a lot to me because it's like, if we don't support who's standing up for us, then it's like, who's going to support us?
So once again, the boycott is over once Colin gets back in the league? I'm so confused by this because I thought Colin
That's
was...
your friend. Why don't you call him and ask him?
We have these conversations.
And what was his answer?
Yeah, you should know. You can ask him directly.
We haven't had this conversation. But I'm just saying, like, if Colin took a knee because of the injustice that black and brown people were facing at the hands of the police, the NFL, by blackballing Colin, shows that they don't give a damn about the injustice that happens to black and brown people.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be the issue. The fact that the NFL is showing that it's a racist organization, right? Not that Colin doesn't have a job and Colin shouldn't want to play for that racist organization.
But he does want to play.
I don't know.
Didn't he want to get on a team? No?
I really don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you should ask him. Also, Cardi B talks about working 24 hours a day, even though she's having to host events. She's working on her music. She's got performances and she's got a baby. Check it out.
I know, like, some moms, they have a 9-to-5. After work, they go home. Most of the times, like, I don't go home. I'm overseas. Yes, it is hard. I just think to myself, like, it's like her future is going to be so secure. Like, oh, my gosh, she's going to have a Lambo when she's, like, 18. Right now, I got to be in my grind.
Save the money, though. Save the Lambo money and just have that tucked away for a little culture.
All right. Also, she discusses her recent split with her husband, but maybe they are going to be back together. That's what it's looking like.
I think we're going to be all right. You know, you got to take it slow. A lot of people always telling me, like, oh, you could date, you could find another man, blah, blah, blah. And it's like... I could find anybody I want. You don't know nowadays who want you for you. Sometimes I feel like people want me for Cardi B. Soon as I said I did a video that I'm not with this guy anymore, I got all these male celebs in my DMs like, yeah, let's go to dinner. I'm in L.A.
She's right. I wonder if Offset's like, so who was it?
I'm sure he knows.
She's right.
That was hitting you up.
Absolutely. I'm
sure they only want her because she's Cardi at this point. So, yeah, she's right.
All right. Well, now let's talk about Nick Cannon. Now, you know, he's been... actually filling in for Wendy Williams on her show while she's been hospitalized and all kinds of things, and she's getting treatment. And here's what he had to say as far as his own conversation with Wendy Williams.
I spoke to Wendy, and honestly, she sounded amazing, y'all. We jumped on the phone, and first thing she said, Nick Cannon, how you doing? And you know what was also really awesome? I had a conversation with her and her whole family, and she said she wanted to speak as a family unit. I talked to Kevin, little Kevin. They said they all good. The love and the passion is still there, because that's what you need in times like this.
So they working their stuff out, it seems like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, this is what Nick Cannon said that he heard from Wendy firsthand. So.
And the family, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Michael B. Jordan has signed a first look deal with Amazon. You know, he's already signed a deal with Warner Brothers, so now he has yet another partnership. So it looks like he's going to be doing big things. even if he's in front of the camera or behind the camera. So that's good news for him, his Outlier Society Productions company. So Soulja Boy, there were some rumors going around that he had kidnapped a woman. The woman actually filed a police report against him. And he said that this is all because the woman who's named Kayla is flat out lying. Now, she said that Soulja Boy beat her and then took her in his garage and tied her to a chair for 6 hours. Now, according to sources, the real story is that Soulja Boy had been dating her, ended the relationship, and she was angry. She came to his house, and she was drunk and crashed her car in his driveway. People were inside the house partying, heard the crash, came outside and told her she was not welcome and that she should leave. So that is his side of the story. He's saying that is 100% fabricated, but the police did take a kidnapping report from Kayla and are still investigating.
I don't like that statement from Soulja. He should have said, kidnapping? Kidnapping? Come on, now stay on brand, Soulja. Stay in the moment.
All right, so we'll keep you updated on that. But I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report. And again, happy Chinese New Year. Today is Chinese New Year. It's the year of the pig, FYI.
Okay.
So what's that mean?
It depends on what your sign is, what your animal is, what that means for you, because it
what
means something
my
different.
I gotta look that up.
We'll look it up for you and let you know. And then you can look up and see what type of year you're going to have this year for the year of the pig, according to yours.
What if I don't eat pork?
You don't have to eat the pig.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Missy. Revolt, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request and let's go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker, for joining us this morning.
Presidential candidate for 2020.
That's right.
He'll be watching the State of the Union tonight.
From his air mattress?
No, he's going to be
his
there.
His basement apartment?
He'll be there.
Oh, yeah, he is going to be
he's
there.
He doesn't have an air mattress.
Apartment. What do you mean? He has a basement apartment in D.C.
Yeah.
Air mattress.
He has
Scarface
a landlord.
Scarface poster on the wall.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know about the Scarface poster.
How's he going to win this election?
I don't know.
What does that have to do with him winning the election?
He need bread to win the election now.
Gonna to
he's
going to
raise it.
Yeah,
all that money's going toward his election.
All right, well, where can we donate?
CoryBooker.com.
All right, CoryBooker.com. Let's go and donate for our good brother, Cory Booker.
Please, Lord have mercy.
Jeez.
I didn't live in like an Instagram model.
Can I send him a Lisa mattress?
I tried to.
All right, Charlamagne. Well, leave us on a positive note.
Listen, the positive note is simply this, man. Real love is accepting other people the way they are without trying to change them, okay? If we try to change them, this means that we don't really like them. It is easier to find someone who is already the way you want him or her to be instead of trying to change said person.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.